Okay, so now this is we've been going through this for several weeks already, and I hope to more or less conclude it this week and then go on to what we were doing before we started this. So just to get into the point which we're going to discuss today is we're going to be discussing the union of Kitzim. The reason why we're going to be discussing the Kitzim is to bring out that the Rebbe's Mahalach is that there is, in general, we know we always have it, we have it very clear that what? There's the MS, the Torah's MS, etc. But then there's the reality of this world. What does that mean? That the Torah ain't the Torah is MS, Hashem is MS. But is the Torah, the truth of the Torah, realized in this world every time? In other words, the best example, which we're going to be discussing better, every time when I do a mitzvah, am I actually affecting my gashmis dikamatzah? Yes or no? So the way it was, it's generally understood in Chassidus, that Torah mitzvahs affect beruchnis inyanim. The olam is al yelim, there's amshachas. Yes, true, in Zman HaGula, we will see the effect of Torah mitzvahs here in olam hazeh gashmi. The way it works, the whole Mahalach Chassidus works on this, based on this, that there is, the MS is definitely MS, Torah is MS, so every time you do a mitzvah, that definitely has an effect, but doesn't have to be in olam hazeh. Olam hazeh is something which is a steered to Elokus, so therefore, the effect of it is not realized in olam hazeh until last of it in Moshe Mashiach, when it will be realized. The way it works, so this is what we will try to bring out today by the discussion about Kitzim, is that in the Rebbe's way, the Rebbe approaches this, there is no such a thing. Everything affects olam hazeh gashmi. There is not, in other words, let's just understand what we're saying over here. That means to say, we can take, let's say, all the Haskalah we're learning in Chassidus. In Chassidus, we're learning about everything. Haskalah mufshut, b'hafshot, meaning we're learning about everything as it is above Olam Hazeh. It's in Ruchnis and Yonim. And this requires some depth, understanding how things work above in Ruchnis and Yonim. So this is the way we understand Chassidus. So we can take all of that, put it aside, and see the fulfillment, and we don't engage Ruchnis at all. Let's skip Ruchnis. Get anything hafshata, anything ruchnis, we can put it all aside. We can think about two things, Hashem and the way we are in olam hazeh. We, Hashem and us. And their whole emes of Torah is realized in, when we do a mitzvah, whenever it is, it's realized in olam hazeh. The impact of a mitzvah, the effect of the mitzvah, the fact that the mitzvah is true and can affect the world, because it's true. Therefore, every time the mitzvah affects the world, it's always there. Primarily, more than everything, first and foremost, in olam hazeh gashmi. Then, so that is the first thing. Everything is there, begashmi. The whole idea of it, understanding things, beruchnis, the distinction between ruchnis and gashmi, put it aside, it doesn't exist. Everything is in olam hazeh gashmi, always. Then, advanced understanding, you can also include the hafshota, the understanding how things are baruchni. No, but the first and foremost is everything in olam hazeh gashmi. So this is what we're going to be coming to realize when we're going to discuss Kitzim. When the Rebbe refers to pnimius. Pnimius, as we always know it, yeah, pnimius is in ruchni. Bichitzenius would be begashmi. No, when the Rebbe refers, in Rebbe's Sichus, when he refers to Pnimius, if you give attention to it, the Rebbe is not referring to Pnimius Baruchnis. No, that type of concept, it may be that when the Rebbe is actually engaging his own way of thinking, let's say, either where Rebbe says Pnimius, it would mean Begashmis, but we don't recognize. So now, so this is the point. Till now, we always explained everything about the emes of the Torah, the truth of the Torah. We always explained it very, yes, it's very simple. It's always, yeah, Baruchnis, Begashmis is, there's a helim. We don't see the truth of the olam there. That put aside. No, everything is in olam hazeh. First and foremost, in olam hazeh. Now the question is, do I realize what's happening in olam hazeh? So this is what we're going to explain. Once upon a time, it was hard to realize, and today we can realize. But the Torah, the emes of the Torah is, we don't need anything ruchnis. Is everything is the Hashem and us, the mitzvahs of the mitzvahs of olam hazeh gashmi and the Eibishter. So this is what we're going to come to discuss by discussing the idea of kitzim. But before we go into that, just to remind us what we were talking about in the previous shurim. So here we have the example on line 3 to 6, which we discussed several weeks ago, where we learn Chassidus everywhere. We know clearly that in every Chassidus tells us that there's three categories. There's Kedusha, Klipas Noiga, and then there's Tuma, Gimel Klipas Atmeis. So what does Chassidus tell us about Gimel Klipas Atmeis? Chassidus says that Gimel Klipas Atmeis, La'osid lo be'aveh ruach atuma min ha'aretz, that they won't exist. So what is the basic understanding when we understand that the mitzvah of Gimel Klipas Atmeis is not going to exist? So let's say a horse, which is treif, it's Gimel Klipas Atmeis. Goyma Gimel Klipas Atmeis. So what would that mean? That this horse, if the Gimel Klipas Atmeis is going to appear to this horse, probably is going to disappear. What remains, Chassidus explains very clearly, the Nitzitz Eloki will remain. The Nitzitz Eloki will remain. But the metzias of the clipper is not going to be the averuch metumim min ha'aretz. So here we have this sikha. The Rebbe explains, no, this is, the Rebbe explains, and he says that the metzias, there is the three categories, right? There's three categories, kusha, klippas noiga, and sholos klippas at, gibel klippas at meis. But then there is the actual object itself. So now what the Rebbe has done, the way we always understood it, is that the Gimel Klipas Atmeis was the actual object. The definition of the object is Gimel Klipas Atmeis, and there's no way you can be Mavar Gimel Klipas Atmeis. And Chassidus tells us Gimel Klipas Atmeis are going to be totally removed, bottled. There's no beer for it. Only the Nitzitz Eloki is going to remain. So now the Rebbe is telling us, no, the actual object, there is an actual object, the Hefter. This is in the wording over here, the Hefter. And what is going to be removed, what is going to be in this battle, is only Shaychusam, in line 4, Shaychusam Lara, the association of this, the connection of this Hefter to the clip that is going to be removed. Let's say the Tzura of the Hefter, the way the usage of the Hefter, the way that we can currently take this horse, and if we want to, we could eat it, so that usage will disappear. The horse is going to remain. What comes out over here is a similar thinking to what we just said before. Let's explain this. What does this mean? The Rambam sort of explains us about Yomei Mashiach, that the Olim Kim Hoginoi, right? So comes Chassidus and tells us Anhoginisis. Yomei Mashiach is Anhoginis. So the way now, Chassidus explains Yomei Mashiach and La'osid Lo, whenever the earlier stages of Yomei Mashiach, the later stages, all as something Anhoginisis, something above, Gilei Lekus, etc. So therefore, Chassidus tells us what is going to happen to the Gimel Klipas Atmeis. It will disappear. It will disappear. So what's going to happen? That basically means, tells us, according to Chassidus, the Olam Hazeh, how we see it today, is not going to be the same as it's going to be La'osad Lo Be'Y, because the Gimel Klipas Atmeis, the heft of the Gimel Klipas Atmeis, the actual Gimel Klipas Atmeis, is going to disappear. So here the Rebbe is telling us, no, the heft is going to remain. What the Rebbe has done over here, he has taken the nigla, the halacha, the mitzvot of the olam hageh, the agashmi, the Rambam's definition of gula, as everything remaining intact, he has now taken everything of Chassidus and associated it with the Rambam. And what do we have over here? The whole, the actual object is going to be here. The Rambam's definition of gula is fully here. It's going to be there. The usage of that, what Chassidus says, the Gimel Klipas Atmeis is going to disappear, means a usage. So now we have here, let's put it in these words, the undiscussed factor in the Chassidus about the actual object, the Rambam's definition of the Gula in this case, the undiscussed thing in the Chassidus, comes the Rebbe, brings it out and says that Rambam is going to remain real even after everything we learned in Chassidus. The Rambam is remaining real. Why? Because Chassidus is something, is discussing everything just above the actual object. The actual object is going to remain. So we have the Rambam's definition coincided now with Chassidus. So this is what we discuss. This is what we see over here in this sikha of Ruach HaTuma, the Gimel Bittel of the Gimel Klipas Atmeis, which, by the way, we read this, went into this. So this has a very, very important, because what it basically tells us, we're not expecting a different world. It is exactly the same world, just the usage, which basically means our attitude to the world around us, which is going to change. So everything which Chassidus tells us about the world changing around us basically means now has been shifted to our attitude. But let's not go into that. Now, This is one example. The same thing we had also, we discussed the whole thing of Matan Torah, where Matan Torah tells us very clearly, says to us very clearly the way it's discussed on Chassidus, everywhere that we were consumed then by Ava Rabba, Kofaleim, Harki Gigis, we were consumed by Ava Rabba, and that is why the Matan Torah was not through our Bechira. We were overwhelmed with the Ava Rabba of the Abish, and therefore we said, whatever we said, Nasav Nishma, we see the whole Torah because we were overwhelmed with the Ava, we were captured by the Ava of the Abish. So it was not coming from our Bechira. This is the way it's described in citizens. It's very simple there. So that this is the way it says it everywhere. Comes it up and tells us there's an underlying factor which is not discussed in Chassidus. And what is that? And this is something which comes, where did this underlying factor come? It comes from the Rambam. What did the Rambam tell us at the Rambam? Simple halacha. This is always, the underlying factor will come from the Poshta Pshutus Mikra, from the Rambam, which is from the Rambam. This underlying factor which is not discussed in the Chassidus. What did the Rebbe tell us with hearing by Matan Torah? Rambam says everything in Torah mitzvahs comes with the Bechira of the person. So therefore, Matan Torah, there was also the Bechira of a person. And therefore, this is how the Rebbe explains the Matan Torah, the Gili Atzmus, was the underlying factor, which is the precondition to everything which tells us, Chassidus tells us about Matan Torah. Chassidus tells us how the Gili Lukus of Maila, and how it totally captured the Yid and accepted, and we were consumed. This is what Chassidus tells us. Comes the Rebbe says, yes, there's some underlying factor, and that is the Rambam, the very Pshuta Shamika, the Rambam, which says that everything is through Bechira. So Matan Torah, there was our Bechira. And that was the first and the primary step to Matan Torah is our Bechira. And their Gilia Atzmus, the Rebbe explains, was where? Primarily in our Bechira. So this, again, the Rebbe's included an underlying factor where, and this is where the Gilia Atzmus is, the Rebbe explains. And what is this underlying factor? It's the underlying factor which we can write in the Ramba. It's not a very simple thing. So this is where we see again, when you talk about Gilei Lakos, we talk about Gilei Lakos, so many things of Olam Hazeh lose their value. So Chassidus doesn't focus on this, the hero of Matan Torah. Or Chassidus won't focus on the fact that this horse is going to be still in existence in Yom Yitzchak Mashiach. What value does this horse have, in Yom Yitzchak Mashiach? When the usage of Gimel Klippos is not going to be there. So Chassidus says right out, the Gimel Klippos of Tmeis is, the usage to eat it is not going to be there. So Chassidus says the Gimel Klippos of Tmeis is going to disappear. Hamza Rebbe just tells us, you should realize, yes, the Gimel Klippos of Tmeis is going to disappear, because the usage, our will, and our temptation to use it for something against the rotten of the Abish, that will disappear, but the horse is going to disappear. So that was not discussed in Chassidus, because what value of this horse is there if the usage of the horse, the way we of using it against Rotten Leibster is not there. So this is the point where we bring out how the Rebbe takes the Pshutus Shel Mikra on the Halacha, and he will put it then any concept of Chassidus, and therefore everything which is discussed in Chassidus now the way we have it in Chassidus, that the Chassidus tells us the Ein Eidem Uvadai. And the Olam and the posh, the Pshutus Mikra is not discussed. And now the Rebbe is coming to tell us the Pshutus Mikra and the Locha is brings it out to the forefront and says everything that's discussed in the Chassidus will come after that. All the Giluim of Matan Torah came after the Bechira of Klal Yisrael. And the same thing would be by the Gula, but let's not go into it now. So now, in the same way, we will see all of this. We will see when it comes to discussing. When it comes to the Inyan of Kitzim, which is, we have in the Sikher right over here. So, here's a quote from lines 1, 2, 3, is a quote from Tanya, where the Alter Rebbe says that the Hamshocha, the Gil of Eirin Sof, the Osad Lave, the Gil of Eirin Sof is actually brought down through our, this is a quote which you all know, the Rebbe keeps on quoting it, is brought down through my Seinu Bava, the Seinu Kol Zman Meshachat Golos. So the Gil of Eirin Sof, which will be realized in Yom Yisrael Mashiach, is brought down through our Maaseinu and Avedisenu, now in Zman HaGolus. So now, just to understand what it says in Tanya, let's go down to line 4 and 5. This is something, a mimer from the Rebbe, Tovshid Membeis. It's something which is repeated in many places, but here we're quoting it from Tovshid Membeis. The Rebbe quotes this actually in the mimer of Bosi Degani, Tovshid Yudalev, where there in this mimer, the Rebbe Rashab is actually explaining this is what it says in Tanya over here, that through the Giluyim of the Asad Lab is brought down through our Aveda Bizman Hagalus. So he explains over here, what does it mean when we say it's brought down through our Aveda Bizman Hagalus? It's brought down in Olam Hatzilus. And it's there in Olam Hatzilus. It's not brought down all the way to Olam Hatzilus Gashmi. When we do Torah Mitzvahs now, it's brought down to Olam Hatzilus. And Yemos Mashiach, that is when we're going to realize what we have brought, accomplished all along in Olam Hatzilus. So this is what it says over here. Now we're going to take the Sikha, we're going to look at the Sikha of the Rebbe, in Chelech of Tetz, where the Rebbe is saying, discussing about Kitzim, the Kitzim, which Israeli Yisrael had revealed through the years. So here the Rebbe is explaining, and the Rebbe explains, brings down the Gemara here, with the Gemara, which many of us know, that the right away by the Churban Beis Hamikdash, this Pora, which screamed, and the first time the Pora screamed it was a simon of the Churban, and the next time the Pora screamed, so this Aravi told this Yid that the reason why the Pora screamed was Neilad Mashiach Geulam Shal Yisrael on line 8. Mashiach was born at that moment, right after the Churban. So here the Rebbe goes to say in line 9-11, that this is, it's interesting the words of the Rebbe here, because these are words which we usually are associated with the Sikhs of Nun Aleph and Nun Beis. So you have it here in very similar words right over here in front of us. So here the Rebbe says, the Churban Abayis and the Gula, this is what the Rebbe explains. The Churban, this whole story of this Pora teaches us that the Churban Abayis and the Gula are not two separate, the Churban and the Gula is not two separate entities. But right away, right by the moment of the Churban, right away, and you have the words in line 10, the last words, Haskolas HaGula, was the beginning of the Gula. Okay, these words are mentioned later on in the Sikh of Numbeis and Tavshin, in the Pasha Shemes Tavshin Numbeis. But here you have it directly. It's here, very short words. It's mentioned right over here. That the Haskolas HaGula was right after the Churban. This is what that is the idea of Noilet Mashiach, that the Mashiach was born. That was the beginning of the Gula. So the Rebbe goes to explain at that time and point, Yidden didn't realize the Gula. The only thing that they realized from the Churban was a need to do Tshuva, which that was the interpretation of the Gula then, the effect of the Gula then, but actually the Gula was then right away born. Then, here in the lines 14 to 15, the Rebbe continues to say that when we say that the fact of the Gula is right in the Golas, right after the Churban, that's when the Gula started, and it's affecting our lives in Golas. So it's not talking about here, the Rebbe says very clearly, we're not talking about Baruch Nisan Yanim, we're talking about the Fadish Begashmis also. And here the Rebbe says, till it affected the Potter, Lamata, that this Potter should make his, he was affected by this Gula, which was born at that moment. It's affecting, it's not talking, the Rebbe here is bringing out, that we say Gula was born right after the Churban, it doesn't mean Baruch Nisan, it means Fadish Begashmis. Now, we have here going to line 17 to 18, the Rebbe is referring to the words of Tanya, the words of Tanya, which we just now mentioned, where it says that through Masenu Ba'avad Esenu, Meshach Zman HaGolus, through Masenu Ba'avad Esenu, Zman HaGolus, we draw down Eirin Sof . So the way it is understood from Tanya itself, actually, and the way it's explained as citizen generally, is that this, whatever we are doing, whatever we're accomplishing with Masenu Va'avedesenu, the effect of our Masenu Va'avedesenu, our Kima Tera Mitzvahs, is in Olam Hatzilus. That's the way it's actually understood in Tanya, because the wording is up there. We had it before, above. So there it's the understanding of Tanya. They're talking about, we are drawing it down, but we're going to see it in Olam Hatzilus only Asad Lavi. Here the Rebbe says in line 17 to 18, the Rebbe says, it's understood from these words, the Giluyim, which we're bringing down in Zman HaGolus, the Giluyim of the Gula, which we're bringing down in Zman HaGolus, are Kan Ba'maseinu Ba'avedeseinu. They're in our Maizim. They're not somewhere else. Okay. Now the Rebbe goes to say that Tzaddikim, now, this is what the point we want to discuss here, Tzaddikim see the effect of this effect of our Torah Mitzvot on Olam Hazeh Gashmi, the effect in Olam Hazeh Gashmi during Zman HaGolus. Tzaddikim see it, but we normal people don't see it. So now, when we see these words, Tzaddikim see it, and we don't see it, the way we may understand, we may right away switch. Tzaddikim see it, yeah, because they have some spiritual sense, some spiritual vision, which we don't have. But that is not really what the Rebbe is saying here. Because the Rebbe is saying it's affecting the Olam Hazeh Gashmi. So the realm is here in this Sikha is talking all about in the realm of Olam Hazeh Gashmi. to what here the Rebbe is saying, tzaddikim see it. So when the Rebbe says it, tzaddikim see it, it's not really speaking about Baruch Nisan Yanim. No, because the Rebbe's sticha is all about affecting the mitzvahs of Olam HaZeh HaGash. So when he says see it, he means in Olam HaZeh HaGash. And this is important, because now, this sticha was then. Now when the Rebbe says we can all see it, yeah, so it would be the same understanding as over here in Olam HaZeh HaGash. Now let us understand why we're talking about it's affecting Olam HaZeh HaGashmi. So why does Tzaddikim see it and why don't we see it? Now this has to explain the Gashmi. Because here we're talking about everything here. Remember, it's affecting the Olam HaZeh HaGashmi. So we cannot explain this by saying, yes, the Tzaddikim could have a spiritual vision. No. The Rebbe says it's affecting Olam HaZeh HaGashmi. So when the Rebbe says Tzaddikim see it, he means they can see it for Olam HaZeh HaGashmi. And for some reason they can see it and we cannot see it. How is that understood? So this is basically what we said before, where the Rebbe says, this is basically what we were saying before, that the way that there is nothing beruchnius, it everything has its effect begashm. Let us just explain this a bit. When we learn the Rambam, let's say, the Rambam explains us, we have it in Rashi, in Chumash, the Torah tells us, we do Torah mitzvahs, it affects our life. That the Torah promise, Hashem promises our schaaf of doing Torah mitzvahs. Hashem has gave us the Torah, and with that He promised us a world. We do Torah mitzvahs, and therefore we're going to see the rewards. So Torah mitzvahs affects our life, the mitzvahs of Olam HaZeh. That's what it says in Rambam. That's what it says in Pshuto Shel Mikra. Nevertheless, the Rambam explains very clearly that this is true all times, but sometimes not. And when is that? In Zman HaGolus, we don't have the ability to. We don't have the ability to do Torah mitzvahs, and therefore Hashem deprives us ability of doing Torah mitzvahs, and therefore we don't see that effect. So therefore, when it comes to Zman HaGolus, we may understand that we do not see the effect of our Torah mitzvahs. I guess the Torah says Torah mitzvahs affect the world, but there is an exception to the rule in Zman HaGolus, when things are not going the way they're meant to go, we're not really following the Torah. So we're not going to see the effect of Olam HaZeh, the Torah mitzvahs, Olam HaZeh HaGashmi. That is a way we could understand the Rambam. There should be no reason not. What's happening is, Chassidus comes and takes a Torah, looks at Torah mitzvahs from a higher dimension. No, Torah mitzvahs is MS, so Torah mitzvahs always have to make that effect. It can be, it doesn't make effect. So what does Chassidus explain us? Yes, it makes an effect, Baruch Nisayonim. And from the perspective of Chassidus, what value does the Olam HaZeh HaGashmi have? It's the Chayim, the Ephes. So it has the Ikiri, the Torah's Emes, it's having effect in the Emesnika Olamas, in the Ruchnistika Olamas, and Olamas, and Elokus, and Elamatilas. That's where it's having the effect. That is a real true effect. The fact it's not having the effect in Olamas HaGashmi is insignificant. So Torah, that's what Chassidus explains. What the Rebbe has done is, the Rebbe took now Chassidus. Everything which is there, the thinker of Chassidus, has actually aligned it with Pshuto Shel Mikra and Halacha. So now, when we learn Pshuto Shel Mikra and Halacha, we may say, I don't know if it is true, but let's say we could say that the effect of Torah mitzvahs on Olam HaZeh HaGashmi is not there in Zman HaGolus. It's a different way that it says in Chassidus, in Olam HaSimcha. So that's why we could have understood that the Rambam and Pshuto Shel Mikra, yes, the effect is not there. Comes the Rebbe and the Rebbe tells us, no, Chassidus tells us Torah mitzvahs always had an effect. So the Rebbe is going to take now this mahalach of Torah and Chassidus, that Torah mitzvahs has always an effect, and will not limit it to ruchnius. No, there's no such a thing. If Chassidus tells us that Torah mitzvahs, the way we taught Chassidus, that Torah always has an effect, because Torah is MS, so it's always having an effect. So that effect is there, begash. So the Rebbe is taking everything which you learned in Chassidus, and Chassidus itself explained itself. How did Chassidus explain itself? How does Chassidus rectify itself? That it should be logical, and it should be understood by telling us it's all beruchnius and yonim. No, comes to Rebbe and tells us no. If this Chassidus tells us Torah is emes, and therefore Torah always has to have an effect, then absolutely, without question, it is begash. And this is the Mahalach HaMachshava. Everything that Chassidus says a meruchnis is begash. So therefore, every Torah mitzvahs are always affecting our life in Olam HaZeh HaGashmi. Now, here comes the Rebbe and tells us tzaddikim see this effect. And we, normal people, not necessarily. Why is that? And now it's very simple, because everything of Torah mitzvah, let's again, Let's take it. Let's move. Forget about Ruchnis for a moment. Take it all out. It doesn't exist. It's only us and Olam and the Abs and the Abishter. And there's a Torah, the Torah of the Abishter. And the Torah is true. If the Torah is true, it has to affect the Mitzvah of Olam Hazakash. Forget about Ruchnis. Ed Torah is true, so there is effect. But I don't see it. In Zman HaGolos, I don't see it. I know in Zman HaGul, I'm going to see it. In Zman HaGolos, I don't see it. So, but the Tzaddikim are seeing it also in Zman HaGolos. Why? Very simple. Let's take the example. A good example would be, let's say, of Mitzvah Tzedakah. Here that we have, when it comes to doing giving Tzedakah, that Rebbe, there's a quote that Rebbe brings down, that the Abishter says, the Abishter says, test me out. You'll give Tzedakah, you will see the reward. Test me out on this. You will give the Potskin, I think, in Yeshaya. You give Tzedakah, you will see the reward. So there's a guarantee when we see give Tzedakah, we are rewarded with Gashmis. Our money increases. This is what it's written. This is what the talk of the Torah. Now, okay, this talk was always there. It's always there. So anyone giving Tzedakah would always bring an increase in my income. So, but here comes the thing. When we're living in a Zman HaGolos, when there's so many different things, other factors, other calculations involved, that therefore, I may be giving Tzedakah, and maybe it will be affecting my life, my income will increase. But remember, there's so many other factors involved. Here comes this Gzera, here there comes that Gzera. So even if my money increases, I may not recognize it, etc. So how would I come as a normal person, come to realize, to see the effect of the Torah in my life? I wouldn't realize, because there's so many ups and downs, I wouldn't be able to realize in my limited vision, understanding of my life, to see the effect of Torah mitzvahs. No, there's so many different initiators, there's so many different Zetas and Zman HaGolos, to go and tell me that the more I would do in Torah mitzvahs, the more reward I would have. There was many great tzaddikim who did Torah mitzvahs to no gvul, and they had to give up their life. Zman HaGolos. So it's very hard to say that for me, in Zman HaGolos, during the time of Zman HaGolos, I should actually come to realize how Torah mitzvahs affects my life. So therefore, this is what we have here. The Rebbe. So here we have now. That tzaddik, what is the tzaddik? Sure, there's many ups and downs. For a normal person to detect in the all the ups and downs, when he does today even more mitzvahs, and all of a sudden, because of some godless reason, there was some, on this day when I did so much mitzvahs, I actually had a worse day because of other days, because of some exterior reasons, some other godless calculation. So I would not necessarily be able to see I would never see the direct results of my Torah mitzvah. So for me to say that I can see how Torah mitzvahs affect my life of Gashmis is something that for the regular person could not align with it. The tzaddik had a broader vision. The tzaddik was confident. He was confident up front. This is what we're going to be confident, we will be confident about in Zman HaGula, how everything Torah mitzvahs affects our lives. The tzaddik has this vision. The Malchus Beis David had this vision. The Torah, the mitzvahs are affecting their life. Now, there's so many upheavals in Zman HaGolos. They see the broader picture. Once you have the confidence, you have the clarity of mind that this is the way it is. When you have this clarity of mind, so you see within all these upheavals, you see the progress. There's upheavals because of the Gzera of Golos. But you will see the progress of the Torah mitzvahs. But to detect, all within all these upheavals, how the Torah mitzvah is actually the progress, even though you may see things going downhill, but even downhill in a period of time in Zman HaGolos when the things were going downhill, the tzaddik would see how the Torah mitzvah was bringing some progress, which a normal mind when the person is emotionally affected by the struggles of his life, for him to have the clarity of a vision, how to see the progress which is and happening through Torah mitzvahs would not be in the capacity of the normal person to see the progress of Torah mitzvahs when he's facing so many struggles in life. So that is why, who would see it? The tzaddik would see it. He was not affected by the struggles. He may have all the struggles. He would have never, in his clarity of vision, was never defaulted upon. He always was sure that he had this sureness that Torah mitzvahs is affecting the world till it's going to bring the gula. So he saw constantly the progress. Because he's not talking about Baruch, he was talking about Begash. He saw it Begash. We didn't see it because we didn't have the whole, we didn't have a broader picture in mind. We didn't have this confidence and this clarity of mind, how the vision of the Abish is developing despite all the upheaval. So we didn't see it. We saw many tests and trials in Zman HaGolus. Vote of the Rebbe is, nowadays, the fact there is no Gzeiras HaGolus. The only thing is we have to sort of find within ourselves how to increase in Torah mitzvahs. And the more we find in within ourselves how to increase using our initiative and creativity, the more progress we will see. So that what was once upon a time in the court of the tzaddikim now is shared to every person. What we see from this sikha is that we don't need anymore anything. We don't need the explanation about Ruach Nisayonim to understand the emes of the Torah. We don't need the explanation of Ruach Nisayonim. It's all on the gas mystical level. And this is the Mahalak of the Rebbe. And this is the Mahalak actually of all my memoriam, most of the memoriam which you're learning. You learn the Mahalak of the Rebbe. The Rebbe takes the different concepts of Siddhas and push it, align it with Torah, Yisrael, or the Metzius of Elam Hazeh, which is basically the following, the same thing. The Rebbe starts out initially. Initially, the Rebbe is starting out from the Pshuta Shel Mikra, from the Rambam. This, the reality of Torah, of Siddhas, where everything is there in the Rambam, in the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Then the Rebbe will take the whole concept of Siddhas, the concept, the Mustug Mufshat, and tie it to the Metzius of Elam Hazeh, how it's in the Rambam So now this here over here is another sikh where we see it. Another, it's a mime of the Rebbe actually how tefillah affects our lives. But I don't, we're running out of time, so I'll just try to conclude what we're trying to get to here. To the bottom line, what we want to get to, if we manage to finish it over here. So now, based on this, we will try to understand. What we say, if we manage to get to it, what we say that 770 is going to move over to Yerushalayim al pi teva. It's going to happen naturally. That means the split second move of 770, all the bottom exists, and all the bottom at Rosh is going to happen al pi teva. So now let's look in here we have this sikha, this quote from where the Rebbe says, explains the inyan of Hagen Nisis, Tis Mitzrayim, the most amazing and flawless. And the Rebbe says there's always a chiv to be zeichitzis, to be mazkitzis mitzrayim, because the Rebbe explains mitzrayim mitzrayim is a continuous thing, because the fact that Egypt took us out of Mitzrayim, he put us in such a situation that we should never ever be able to fall back into this matter of Mitzrayim. That was yitzis mitzrayim. Yes, we had many Goliaths after Mitzrayim, but we should fall back to such a goddess as Mitzrayim. That's not going to happen. Now, al pi olam hazeh, the teva olam of olam hazeh, things can happen at random. There's no reason why we shouldn't fall back to the goddess of Mitzrayim. Why not? So what's happening here is there's a continuous koyach of the Eibishter keeping us that we should not fall back to Yitzis, to the matter of Mitzrayim. And that is Yitzis and Mitzrayim. It's a continuous thing, because it's as the Rebbe puts over here, it's a chibur of two opposites, and therefore why? Because mitzad the teva of olam hazeh, there's no reason why we shouldn't, by chance, let's say, fall back to the matzav of Mitzrayim. The fact that that is not happening, because there's a continuous koyach of the Eibishter to keep the Mitzrayim existing, and that is why we never fall back to the matzav of Mitzrayim. This is what the Rebbe explains over here. Now comes the Rebbe says over here about Matan Torah. He's talking about the giving of the Torah. And now the Rebbe says that there was a bit of the Gzeira by Matan Torah of the bit of the Gzeira of Elyonim and Tachtonim. The Rebbe asks, why when it comes to the bit of the Gzeira of Elyonim and Tachtonim, which that would be a chibur, even greater than Yetzis Mitzrayim, the chibur of Hopchim, which is even greater than Yetzis Mitzrayim, how comes there's no continuous koyach in order to be keep this bitla gzeira in existence? There should be a necessity to keep the bitla gzeira in existence continuously, just like it is in Mitzrayim, because of Pikteva, Al Yenim and Tatoini are separate. The fact that the bitla gzeira stays intact, stays in existence, should require constant koyach to keep it in existence, and it's not so. And the Rebbe explained, the Rebbe answers here, because the Teva of the world is actually associated with the Torah. The Torah, the Teva of the world requires divides the Torah. That means, so the Teva of the world and the Torah are not contradictions, are not two opposites, are one. So the Bittul of the Gzeira is something which goes naturally, for the Teva of the world associates itself naturally with Torah. So what we have over here, here the Rebbe is telling us, the greatest nism that we know, in order to keep these nism afloat in existence, it requires a constant koyach of the Eibishter to keep it in existence with the mitzvahs of Olam Hazeh. When it comes to Torah, which is above even the greatest nism, that and the Teva, the world, no, Teva and the world and the Torah is, they go along with each other. They just go along. They're naturally, naturally attached to each other. This is what the Rebbe is saying over here. So now, going back to what we said before about the kitten, that, the world, the tzaddikim always saw how the Torah is affecting the world. We don't see the broader picture. We don't see, not because of, again, not ruchness, the gashmis, our mind, we are absorbed with the many challenges of life. We don't have the clarity of mind to be able to look at the broader picture. And the tzaddikim may face the same challenges and even more. They are not captured by these challenges, and they maintain the balance, the clarity of mind, and they see how the Torah is constantly progressing. What is missing is we don't see it. Now the Rebbe is telling us that we can see it. And nowadays, we can see because there's no one there obstructing us from Torah mitzvahs. So we could increase, we could actually see the progress. It just requires our focus of attention to realize that we can see it and to actually increase in Torah mitzvahs and coming to realize how the Torah mitzvahs are affecting our life. So this, we today can actually see this, what the Tzaddikim say. Based on this, I hope we'll be able to go up to the point where, if I hope I haven't skipped anything over here, come to this house, 770 moving to Yerushalayim. If the Teva, remember, just to help with one, just before we go into this, of 770 moving to Yerushalayim, let's go one more point. This is something in the beginning of the first page over here. We have the discussion here where the Rebbe writes in the letter, that the coordination of the atoms makes no sense. That means that this is something the Rebbe writes in the letter going back in the early years. But today, and it's something very common knowledge, it's there, I've seen it in different places, or whatever, like YouTube, whatever, that there's this whole theory of science, which is fully confirmed, and, well, it's fully true, and whatever, that there is no law, that the world, and from every logical perspective, should fall apart at every moment. There's no reason why the world is staying in balance. There's so many different forces here. In order for the world to stay in balance, all these forces have to be coordinated, have to coordinate exactly, accurately. And there's no log, and it's so remote that they should actually, the chance of them actually coordinating is so remote, it's more than any, the remoteness is more than anything that we could even express in words, more or less. And nevertheless, this is maintained, the world is maintaining itself in existence, this coordination is maintaining in existence. So that makes no sense. Now, let's say, when we take this to help us understand it, when we did this discussion here about the Zman HaGolos, that we didn't have a clarity of sight to be able to see how the Golos, with all the upheavals, to see how the progress of Golos is actually leading us forward closer and closer to Gula. We didn't have we regular people didn't have the broadness of mind to be able to see it. Had we sort of engaged this thinking about what the Rebbe brings out in this letter, how the whole coordination of the world makes no sense, that would have made this much, much easier when we come to realize the whole existence of the world makes no sense. And therefore, logically speaking, the world should fall apart. That's what the argument is. Logically speaking, the world should fall apart at any moment. It's an existence really doesn't make sense because it's so remote. It should continue to, that everything should remain in balance. If we would have engaged this type of thinking, it would have been easier for us to sort of align with that, with the tzaddikim. So all along the progress, because of the whole fact the world exists didn't make sense. So the fact the world is existing really is some really very sharp hashkocha of the Eibishter keeping it going. And this can be fully realized because the whole world, the existence of the world doesn't make sense. So it would have been easier for us to align with this fact of actually seeing the progress of the Gula also. Because once we have it clear that the whole world doesn't make sense, then we wouldn't be so confused by our individual challenges. And we may have seen that with the Tzaddikim saw, how there is some progress, but we wouldn't be so pulled down by the different challenges. And we have seen maybe the broader picture. It's just, I've just brought this in as to understand this next step where we're going to talk about this sentence, moving up each other. Once we have incorporated this thing, and we explained in this sikha, how the within all the upheaval, Torah and mitzvahs is always affecting the world, but we don't see it. So what do they mean when we say the Torah and mitzvahs is affecting the world? When I do a mitzvah, there's something moving in Olam Hazeh in response. Where is it moving? It's moving around. It's all begash. It's all begash. So there's something moving. I don't recognize it. In my upheavals of life, I can't see this movement of what's happening. I don't see it, but it's there. So there's an enormous pattern of things. There's all the commotion of this world. There's an enormous pattern happening, a continuous pattern of the apes that are happening. The gas is Olam Hazeh, which cannot be realized. Only today I can realize, because today I can actually, when there's nothing there obstructing me to a teremitzis, I can actually increase in teremitzis and can come to see its effect. When once upon a time I didn't have this guarantee, so I wasn't able to see the effect. Being a normal, regular person, I wasn't able to see this effect. So now, once we know how that everything is there, happening with Gashmi, in the coordinate, how things are moving around, we don't recognize because we don't have the mind attention to focus on these things. We don't have the clarity of mind. We don't pick up on these small things. So if we fulfill Yidden, all the Yidden, identify with the Abish, identify with the Rebbe, we have the repetition of Matan Torah. Matan Torah was that all Yidden recognize the Abish. They chose to recognize the Abishta, we said. They chose to recognize the Abishta. And that is what the scholars of the Atzmus then. But then the scholars then was in the Midbar, removed from the world. Now we're in the world. But we in the world can now recognize how the Abishta is actually the progress that we can realize affects the Torah. So we can realize how the Abishta is running the world the way that Tzadikim always saw it. So when we all know the Torah, and from the Torah perspective, when there's a full identification, when I say full identification, it means when all you identify. When there's a full identification with the Torah, and from the Torah, the way the Torah's perspective is, 770, a Mokum HaKadosh should be in Eretz Yisrael. The things will fall in place naturally, but this is a Torah affecting the world all along. I just didn't give it attention. I wasn't able to give it attention. I didn't have the clarity of mind. Now that we can come to see, every Yid can come to see that how the Teva is always is evolving according to the Torah. We can all see it now. Once upon a time, we weren't able to see it. It was always true. We weren't able to see it. So therefore, then when we all identify with the Torah, and then from a Torah perspective, the 770 Yidden should be in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the Teva goes right along with it, and we're all there in Eretz Yisrael. I'll be Teva. Now, this is the explanation. I don't know how well I explained it. So if anyone wants to ask questions, you're more than welcome. I think I only have one listener. That makes it even easier. So I will finish over here. And if you want to ask me anything, I'm more than welcome. I'm more than welcome you too. And I'm prepared to give you the full time to answer anything you want to ask. So you can do it because we're just two of us, so it's not a problem at all. It's up to you.